Hello and welcome back to the Dentistry Online podcast. Today I am joined by Dr. Maria Papavergos, and we're going to be talking about preventative education through diet and nutrition and what dental teams can do to promote good oral health in the dental practice. So how's everything been for you so far? How's your lockdown been up in Scotland?
So it's been busy with three children under four, so I don't get much respite, but they are all very full of energy and entertaining. So it's been a nice opportunity to spend quality time with them as well and see them interact together. So it's been, it's been eventful.
Well, that can be interpreted in a number of ways.
Yes, had my moments. So they're definitely, there's the good and the bad, but you've got to focus on the good
definitely,
ones.
You've definitely got to focus on the good. And I think the way to look at it is this is a time, I mean, I don't want to jinx it. Hopefully, I say hopefully we'll never have again. The context of it, I hope we'll never have again. But the actual family time, I think maybe something that's embraced, you know, it's not something that an opportunity like this doesn't come around very often. So
I think that's absolutely right. And I think there are actually a lot of positives that will come out of this. And people will value spending time with their families more and value being at home more, actually. And I think there's positives that people will definitely bring out of this. There has to be, I think. So it's an experience that we've been through, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to look at it positively. How's it been in Scotland? Because obviously, if you're surrounded by all the countryside, that must help a lot.
It's been, yeah. I mean, we are very fortunate where we are. We are in a rural part of the world, and it's beautiful. We have a lot of outdoor space. So the weather's been great, which, you know, in Scotland isn't always predictable, which has meant that we have had the opportunity to be outside most of the time, actually. And with the little ones, it means that it's definitely meant that they've had a good time. So I'm quite, I don't think we've had a bad lockdown experience.
Good. I like that. I like it when people say it's been more good rather than bad. That's it's a nice.
Yeah, I think you have to think of the positives. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. So obviously before this, we had a conversation about what do you like to speak about, and you spoke about oral health. Why are you so passionate about this, and why is this something you wanted to talk about?
Well, oral health and oral well-being, I feel, is such an integral part of general and overall health. We often don't sort of miss out the mouth sometimes when we think of general health, and from my point of view, it really is, it's the gateway to the whole body, and it's the starting point to so many different aspects of general health. Especially with, I mean, during these circumstances with lockdown and being at home, I think people are increasing their awareness of how to maintain their own health, and their appetite for looking after one's health is growing. And I think I'm just sure that people would want to be educated and be empowered with knowledge as to how they can bring health to their whole body and their oral microbiome, and how it's linked to their gut and to their general health is a holistic part of well-being. That I feel that it's important to empower people with that knowledge and outlook so that they can live the best, healthiest lives that they can. My view is, you know, that the oral microbiome really is the gateway to the whole body, and my approach is very holistic. It's a preventative approach. It's sort of 360 degrees, looking at diet, nutrition, lifestyle factors, and people's stress, things like their sleep. It all affects our mouths, and actually people don't really think about that, and I think it's so important that we can draw attention to that and empower people with the ability to navigate their way into a healthier lifestyle and happier oral microbiome and general health. Really, that's my kind of mission, I suppose.
do you think this is something that's underappreciated, something that people aren't aware of within the profession, you know, that oral health?
I think it's overlooked. I think there is definitely dental teams, the focus is often on trying to fix problems and taking, you're presented with a patient and there's so many issues to deal with, and we want a treatment plan and to improve patients' oral health. And often we jump to try and fix things. You know, fixing is, you know, we're very skilled professionals and we thought that's what we do and that's what we can achieve. But my my focus, I suppose, is trying to educate from a preventative point of view and really ask patients how they got to that state of disease and oral disease and how they can mitigate against it or how they can try and manage it if they already have existing disease to prevent further disease. And it's to try and educate the profession as well to have a more of a focus and priority on what I see as a hugely important aspect of general and oral health.
I think
often time is of the essence in practice, and we focus on fixing the problem, and conversation and education is probably something that we could as a profession do more for our patients.
We're talking about prevention and how you said the oral health is a gateway. It's important and needs to be taken into consideration for general health, and it's kind of maybe not deliberately but can be quite underappreciated. But this time now, you said we need to make patients aware of this. With what's going on at the moment, there is more time to arguably communicate with patients in a way that we're doing now, for example. So is that something you think could be utilized to sort of achieve this mission?
Absolutely. I think practices have to be innovative now, with how we approach patients and how we see patients, and even things like video calling that like you and I are doing at the moment, is to me is actually a useful facility that can be used in practices and perhaps engaging with patients in conversation. There's an opportunity to do that more. And I think there's an appetite for people to learn. I think people want to understand their oral health. And they're presented often with a picture of their oral health, but perhaps they don't know the road they took to get there and how they can adjust it. And trying to paint the picture in a preventative sense, I think, will be welcomed amongst people. I think we all now want to understand our own selves and bodies better, and actually within practice this is a huge opportunity to try and build education amongst the team. And it's not just the dentists, the whole professional team can be part of it, and therapists and hygienists have a hugely important role in this. And I think it's really about trying to empower the profession as well to have their knowledge to deliver to the patients and to people and their understanding of oral health and the oral microbiome and its importance.
Yeah, definitely. You mentioned earlier that oral microbiome is linked to stress, to sleep, to diet. So how is that? How is it linked to the overall health of somebody?
So our oral microbiome encompasses all the bacteria, microbes in our mouth, including viruses, fungi. It's a balance in our mouth. So it's a sort of symbiosis that we're looking at in oral health. You get from dietary changes, you can shift the symbiosis to a dysbiosis. And we all know about sugar and that kerogenic challenge and how that shifts to dysbiosis and dental decay. So there's the kind of dietary side of it with sugar, but from a more general sense as well, we're looking at gum disease, and there's so much emerging evidence now as to how nutrition has an instrumental role in gum health and periodontal health, and how the now established link with several chronic inflammatory diseases is often linked to nutrition, and how certain nutrients have now shown evidence to actually down regulate the inflammatory cascades and can manage these chronic inflammatory conditions like periodontitis. So through education as to what people's diet involves, what it includes, it's more of an inclusive diet that we're looking at. We want to have nutrient-rich diets, so particularly alpha-lipoic acid is known as an antioxidant that has a down-regulatory role, which is found in things like broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And people need to include foods into their diet. It's more plant-based foods. That kind of way of thinking has a positive impact on our gum condition, our periodontal condition, as much as the processed foods, which are high in fats and high in sugars, often unbeknownst to people, have a negative effect on these inflammatory cascades. So we want to try and educate people as to how their diet can actually help modulate those that do have periodontal disease, how they can be empowered to actually take control of it. All health measures are hugely important, don't get me wrong, but there's another side to it as well, which I think perhaps people don't realize, and they can actually make a difference to their own well-being. Other factors, lifestyle. So things like stress is a huge impact on the oral microbiome. We have decreased saliva, and we know that saliva is instrumental in, again, has a buffering potential in the mouth, and it helps protect us against dental decay and these cariogenic challenges. We have physical manifestations as well in the mouth from stress. We know about tooth grinding, and often we have a window to identify and to discuss with patients perhaps what their lifestyle could be, and have a positive impact on their lifestyle and their well-being from a really quite holistic picture. And it can even open conversations into sort of mental health and well-being, as we have a window to see the signs of stress in somebody's mouth. They may be sort of carrying on unbeknownst to them in a very stressful lifestyle, that they're looking for some help, and we might be the first professional that can say, listen, we've looked in your mouth and we can see that these are the signs, these are stress related signs. Tell me about, your life is, can you make modifications to your lifestyle that can, stress management can have a huge impact on your oral health and your general health. And we are a really important professional to perhaps identify that. So it's quite an exciting position to be in, that we can really empower patients to look at their whole health and start that conversation with people. Often I think lifestyle we think of in the profession is just sort of smoking and alcohol, and it's so much more to that. So these are the kind of like the extremes, the heavy smokers and the heavy drinkers. Uh-huh. They are obviously high risk patients, but so there's a huge range of patients that they might be doing a few little things. Their sleep might not be very good, and they might not be very hydrated, and it might manifest in the mouth in a more subtle way. But we have the opportunity to have that conversation and to embrace a change that can have a positive impact.
Absolutely.
So that's my sort of lifestyle approach, I suppose, to oral health.
That's interesting. As you were speaking, I was thinking, is this something you think has become increasingly more important with the sort of more visibility when it comes to things like social media, and you get these new diets that come up and new ways of living, and combine that with increased stress levels? I mean, people are working so hard these days, outside of the pandemic context, just in general, looking at computer screen for if you're working in an office, or even like yourself, dentists, it's high pressure environment, things like that. Do you think there's sort of more of a demand in this day and age to have these conversations because of this sort of, like I said, increase
in modern life? Yeah, modern lifestyle. Absolutely. We're often stuck in overworked and overstressed, and can be working long hours and just not giving yourself those 5 minutes to breathe and to look after yourself and to just think about what you're consuming and your diet. So you might be just grabbing food quickly because you're on the go, and actually accumulatively that's your diet isn't very good, and you may not have thought about that. And sitting in an office or at a desk all day, and you're stuck in a position which I'm also a yoga instructor, so this is a huge area of importance to me, that how yoga and movement is also a stress management technique, and it's so important for overall health and well-being to keep moving. And back problems can develop in people who have office-based jobs, or sitting in cars, or sitting in a single position. And simple movement in the day, just taking 5 minutes out, can be do wonders for stress and your quality of life. And that has a compounding effect on, it's not just your lifestyle and overall well-being, but there are signs in your mouth. You might be just not, because you haven't got the energy to do things properly. And evidence now shows that actually people who are highly stressed have high risk of gum disease. And people probably wouldn't think about that, but if we can try and encourage people to have just a few moments in their day to really indulge in themselves, look after themselves, this actually could make a huge difference to several aspects of their general health, their oral health being one of them.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, obviously, first and foremost, you're helping the patients, but then also it's going to make your job easier, hopefully,
yeah,
in the long run, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all around. It's benefits for not just the person, but the clinician, and then... Yeah, it's not just...
Yeah, it's definitely got... It's a little bit of chicken and the egg as well. I mean, as soon as you make one improvement, other improvements of your life start to develop, but you've got to be aware of them to start with. And I think, you know, we might be in a perfect position as dental professionals to instigate that thought process and start making those changes to somebody's lifestyle and the kind of consequential effects on their well-being. From a general point of view, could be you know, enormous.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think many people don't think of it like that. Like when you said earlier, a lot of the time when you think of lifestyle, it's things like smoking, drinking, maybe not exercising as much, but it's all the little things that come in between those that actually combined can have a really big impact. I mean, can you give me an example of maybe somebody you've come across who, from looking into their mouth, you can see actually there are some issues there?
Yeah, well, I think often it presents quite subtly in people that, because often people have the best intentions at heart. They're not disinterested in their health. And making choices like, you know, having smoothies regularly or detoxing practices like drinking lemon with hot water, thinking that they're doing something good for their general health, or trying to, with the best interest for their health at heart, yet, you know, these erosive effects can start to develop on their dentition. They can start to develop early decay, which for these sort of group of patients is quite shocking when they think they're trying to do the right thing. So it's kind of trying to break it down to people to understand, perhaps, you know, some of the practices that we think are healthy actually are not, from an oral health or oral microbiome point of view. And to educate people as to how to identify sugars that are damaging, the extrinsic free sugars, and how to navigate through marketing messages, which are so confusing sometimes. You go into supermarkets and everything's healthy. And you think, you know, you pick up something for your children that's, you know, 100% fruit, healthy, but the fruit's been dried into this sort of sticky bar. And actually those sugars are as damaging as picking up a toffee. But the parent doesn't think that, and it's trying to kind of navigate through these messages, which I think is really challenging. And we are really key to educating people as to how to make the right choices for themselves and their families, because children, you know, they're constantly demanding, and as long as you can't always do the healthy right thing, but moderation is key. And I think if you have the knowledge, then you can exert moderation, and that is protective against oral and general health.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you look at these products sometimes and you see fruit, and they pick up these sort of keywords that you associate as a person with, I'm speaking as a patient here, that you'd associate with health, and you don't realize actually behind all of that, this is going to have in the long run sort of a negative impact on
a negative impact,
and you don't realize that because they pick out the points that do you think that, you know, dental professionals talking to patients, do you think this needs to be coupled with legislation changes? Do you think that
I would come into effect? Absolutely. I mean, that would be the dream if marketing could be more, you know, controlled and regulated, but it doesn't seem to be, and I don't know how far away that would ever happen. But absolutely, I think as a to help guide people better, you know, there ought to be more education and more strict rules. But unfortunately, at the moment, it is a bit of a minefield out there. And I think there's a lot of, you know, dietary fads and things that people think they're doing the best, and actually the kind of the long term effects are not necessarily positive. And even some subtle things like, you know, people choosing to be vegans and having a heavily plant based diet. A lot of people are now joining that group of people, and actually, you know, it's a great choice if you are eating with a sort of an educated outlook and you understand how you're getting all your different nutrients and different food groups. But if you choose to be vegan and you perhaps, you know, you're drinking milk alternatives, plant-based milks which have added sugar or are lacking in some of the nutrients that we find in milk, like iodine, which is important for thyroid health, you might be lacking these nutrients and not realize it. And having that conversation, we as dental professionals ought to establish that with our patients. Are they vegan? What are their dietary habits? How can this manifest in their mouth, and how can it affect their general health? And having that educative kind of conversation, I think, is actually really key to people who are making these dietary choices and perhaps don't understand the full picture. They're trying to do it with ethical interests or all sorts of different reasons, which is completely understandable. And I mean, we're in no position to support or disagree with choices, but what we want to do is educate people as to, if they are making these choices, what they need to be looking for and how can they protect their oral health and general health at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think I'd never thought of this, but when you mentioned that they have good intentions, they are trying to stay healthy and they think, you know, having a vegan diet is something that's going to benefit them, maybe on a health point of view, like you said, it could be for ethical reasons, but whatever it is, you go in there thinking, well, I'm doing the right thing by following this lifestyle, but you don't understand that sometimes that there are some of these substitutes you're consuming aren't right for you. And I think that is important to talk about, and particularly now when things like veganism are on the increase.
And growing, absolutely. Yeah. I think people are making, and I mean, a plant-based diet is a brilliant thing. It's, you know, an inclusive diet. You want to include lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. I mean, this is all such good practice that, you know, people are trying to adopt. So it's just trying to supplement those choices with information and education, so that people who are making these choices aren't overindulging in sugar without realizing, for example. And a lot of things, it's very hidden sugars, and things like in salad dressings and things that you wouldn't even think would be sweet. And it's this high frequency of sugar intake long term, which has a damaging effect on oral health. And I don't think there's a lot of knowledge out there about that, and how, you know, you might be gluten-free and vegan, but have a very high sugar intake without realizing it necessarily. And that could have a negative impact on your oral microbiome without any awareness. So yeah, I think these conversations are so important to have with people, and to start to open their minds and to empower them with the right knowledge.
Definitely. How do you think, you said, mentioned earlier that it's not just about the dentist here, you're talking about all the people in the dental team can get involved.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you think teams can do here to initiate these conversations with patients?
Well, I think the initial consultations that we have, just, you know, from a general exam point of view, you can start by asking some people simple lifestyle factor questions. So just trying to establish some dietary habits, whether they are vegan, do they have any dietary choices that they take, are there any practices that they adopt, or any sort of type of diet they're choosing to take, and you could pick up whether they'd be engaging with the patient and trying to establish perhaps more, get more out of them from the dietary point of view. Dietary questionnaires, and actually trying to get a diary out of people. If you want to actually really pick up on someone's interest, then there's a huge opportunity here to try and engage with the patient. We ask about smoking, we ask about, you know, we ask these questions routinely, but we don't often say, so what are your dietary choices, and are there any, you know, are you vegan, also your children, do they have particular dietary preferences, or just an important conversation that you can try to start building the conversation from. And then simple questions like, you could ask about sleep and try and establish how stressful a lifestyle somebody has, working pattern, and would be shift workers, that kind of thing. You know, you can start to build a picture of perhaps how stressful their lives are, and that, you know, compiling with looking at their oral health from a physical point of view, you can start to build a very clear picture as to what could be manifesting from a stress point of view in somebody's lives, and that could develop into quite a big conversation. And I think those conversations can be had, you know, out with the initial consultation. So you could bring up that we've noticed something in your mouth, and there's, you know, we can give you some further advice and give you some, hopefully motivate you to make some changes if we can. You know, these conversations can then be picked up by other members of the team to educate patients as to how perhaps their lifestyle and dietary choices are leading to issues in their mouths.
Yeah. You said stress just then, that stress can impact your mouth. How does it impact the mouth and the oral microbiome? What kind of signs would it explain that it's stress that's having an impact?
Well, stress can manifest physically. So we can get signs of tooth grinding and jaw clenching happening at night. There might be signs on the tongue for that, and the teeth as well. And that can also translate as disrupted sleep, and people can have itself can lead to a more stressed life, because if you're starting off with bad night's sleep, you're already waking up not rested and stressed. And also people, if they have a stressed life, they're probably not focusing on their oral hygiene. They're probably rushing them. They're probably not looking at the bigger picture. So, you know, that reduced attention to their mouths can lead to, again, it's going to have a negative effect on their oral microbiome. Also, the immune system, the broader immune system will be affected by stress, and that can show in the mouth. You might develop more infections, both orally and systemically. So you've got this increased risk of gum disease, and also you're less likely to respond to therapy with increased stress, higher cortisol levels. Everything's working against you. So
it's kind of like a sort of domino effect then. It's sort of one thing.
It's a domino effect. You've nailed it.
Brilliant. Yeah, so the domino effect, and one thing will affect another, and you think dental professionals are well placed to catch this out before it deteriorates into a larger problem. Yeah,
absolutely. So we can start that conversation, and mental health is on the right, you know, mental problems, mental stress. We are in a position to almost diagnose early signs of imbalanced mental health, and actually having that conversation can be really instrumental and really helpful to patients to make small lifestyle changes, which have a much broader benefit.
Yeah, I agree. And I think speaking from somebody who's not a healthcare professional, I find the dentist is sometimes, communication is key and it's a big part of the job. And I think I would arguably be more likely to open up about things like this at the dentist than perhaps in another healthcare sort of environment, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think you're right. It's very personal. And I think people don't often like to admit when they are stressed or when they have any mental health issues. And actually, to present yourself having recognized that is a huge step for people. So if we are recognizing there might be some signs in their mouths, we can bring that conversation up in a very, very kind of easy, inoffensive way, which might be what people are looking for, actually. It's an opportunity to say, do you know what, actually, I am really stressed.
Yeah, and I think as well with dentists, because people associate it with the mouth, and obviously first and foremost you're looking inside somebody's mouth, patients might be more likely to open up because they feel, and it sounds a bit, I'm just speaking from a personal point of view, but less, yeah. I know it sounds weird, but sort of judgment. I think sometimes if you go to the doctor, you know, you think that they're looking at everything, they're looking at every small, whereas with the dentist it's less obvious that they're going to be able to realize these kinds of things from a patient point of view, and in which case they're likely to maybe open up about it because they feel it's sort of a less judgmental environment.
That's really important, and it's actually really nice to hear that from, as a dental professional, that, you know, we might be that point of contact that isn't perhaps as intimidating, and just to have a general conversation with. And sometimes people just, they don't know who to look to have that conversation perhaps. So if we can perhaps instigate it, I mean, how great is that? We can help to tackle this, which is, I mean, it's mental health is such a huge area that we can perhaps be benefiting people.
Definitely. No, I agree. I think, I don't know, it's just, I feel the dentists and dental practices and dental teams are so, like I said, the communication it's so important there. And the general, I love my dentist. You know, every time I go
there. Yeah, and do you know what? That's so great to hear. It's so lovely. And actually, do you know what? Like, dental teams are experts in dealing with people who are anxious and who perhaps are, you know, they don't want to be there. They don't want to be having treatment done. And they are brilliant at reassuring and basically creating an environment that feels safe and comfortable, which is really important.
You guys are great at that. And I think that shows, and I think that's where a lot of people therefore would be a lot more forthcoming with, you know, things that might be affecting their lives. I mean, I had a wisdom tooth out a few years ago now. I have my mouth hasn't been great to me over years. As a kid, overcrowded, had to have 4 teeth out, braces.
Oh,
deep. Yeah. but I got a wisdom tooth out, and I was sedated, and they were just so great. I mean, I don't have a fear of the dentist. I'm absolutely fine with it, but it's a bit unnerving when you be sedated. I've never been sedated prior to that. And they just put me completely at ease, and they were great. Absolutely. And I was being an absolute nightmare, because I remember I was touching my mouth afterwards, and I was all, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, and the nurse was just so just kept putting my
they're hand. Amazing. They are amazing. Yeah. I mean, they are so brilliant at reassuring and putting you at ease. And it's true, because I mean, it's a scary place to be when you're in that chair and you don't really know what's happening some of the time. So yeah, that's right. I think we're really lucky as a profession to have such a skilled team supporting us, and this is an opportunity to utilize the team and the skills that they have.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Okay, so to finish off, what do you like to do outside of dentistry, away from, I mean, it could be connected, but you mentioned earlier, for example, you're a yoga instructor. So
yeah, so I mentioned I'm a yoga instructor. Yeah.
So how did that come about? Come about as a result, or is it separate?
It's probably, I mean, I've practiced yoga for a few years, but my real passion grew, I think, probably just as I started having children, actually. Okay. And finding my headspace and be able to create a zone and look after sort of not only just, you know, physical health, but it's mental health. Like, there's a lot of emotional well-being that comes with yoga, and I found yoga a real journey for me to try and find my headspace and to just chance to breathe away from children and to just find my space. And physically as well, I think, you know, I started to realize that, you know, as we're all getting older, that actually I need to look after my body in a way that I don't want my profession or anything to start to impact. And I've always enjoyed dancing, and I probably took to yoga quite well, because I just found it really, it just sort of suited me, and I really enjoyed it. And you can see, it's a journey, you can see your strength grow, you can see your flexibility improve, and it's an ever ongoing journey, and I feel I've got a long way to go, but I've come a long way as well. And
yeah.
I like that feeling of, you know, you can start to, you see the rewards, you can see how, you know, oh God, I couldn't use, a year ago, there's no way I could have done that. And actually now I can. And I think a lot of, you know, finding the time out, kind of sort through, find mental clarity. Mm. I think yoga is incredible for that. So I'm a huge yoga advocate. And so I trained to be an instructor.
Okay.
And basically developed my passion, and now actually incorporate yoga into, I feel, is actually instrumental now for general well-being, and also ties in with oral health and oral well-being, and how we can stress manage, and that can affect our oral microbiomes and oral health.
Well, that's really interesting.
So I kind of built the holistic picture through it in a way. Yeah.
So that's that. You think that sort of maybe aided your awareness of how, you know, you mentioned the word holistic earlier. This sort of thing has an impact on our oral health and general health as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, having also had children, I think my interest in nutrition and trying to do the best thing for your children grew as a result of that. And I just felt that, you know, I needed to further my knowledge and educate other people as well, as to trying to make the right choices for their children, and in ways that perhaps, you know, people don't often realize, as I was, you know, as we spoke about before, with hidden sugars and things like that, and just trying to do the right thing.
Have you been doing any Zoom sessions over lockdown? Is that something, have you done any yoga Zoom?
I have actually, So I have streamed a few live classes. We live in, as I mentioned, we live in rural southwest Scotland, and we live on a working family estate. So I've done a few yoga sessions from the garden, and I also practice aerial yoga, which is quite exciting. So I have an aerial yoga studio that I was due to launch during lockdown, but obviously never quite happened, so it's been postponed. So I've had a few glimpses of my aerial yoga studio through streaming live, so hopefully people will come to experience it soon.
Oh no, it's so annoying. It's just put so much on hold, hasn't it?
I know. Something to look forward to anyway, I think. But, yeah, I'm restarting classes outdoors now instead. So
that's allowed now.
Yeah. So that's quite exciting. We've got plenty of space here, so that's okay. That works quite well.
That's interesting. And I think, well, I'm convinced now that I've got to start yoga, so
I'm good.
I'll have to let you know how that goes.
And it's not just for people that are flexible, it's just
I am not flexible, I need to improve. Helps
then you're perfect for it then. That's the thing. People think you have to be flexible to do yoga, but actually if you're not flexible you should do yoga.
I'm sold.
Yeah, go for it, it's amazing.
Well, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I really enjoyed our conversation. Really good.